Russia's long-standing ambassador to the United Nations has died. The Russian Foreign Ministry confirmed that Vitaly Churkin died unexpectedly in New York. So far, we've no details on the circumstances. He was 64. In fact, I believe it was his 65th birthday tomorrow.
General H.R. McMaster will become the National Security Advisor. He also has known a longtime General Keith Kellogg, who I also have gotten to know, and he's a terrific man, and they're going to be working together.
Eric Holder, the first attorney general under Obama, has been hired by Uber to investigate claims of sexual harassment after a viral blog post by a former female employee. This will be Holder's second assignment of the sort after he worked with Airbnb to create an anti-discrimination policy in July.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's February 21st, 2017. Glad to have you along for another episode of The Opening Bell and another business day underway. Lots of you probably just getting back to work after a long holiday weekend. So we're especially glad to have you along up and at them. 52, Dow futures up 52 right now on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, looking for a positive open as Wall Street returns to business today. The S&P and NASDAQ futures are a little bit higher as well, with the S&P up about 15 points. The futures, the NASDAQ futures up about 15 as well. Crude oil trading higher this morning, almost 1.5% at $54.27 a barrel. Around the globe, Asian stock markets mostly higher as investors look ahead to minutes from the Federal Reserve's latest meeting. Those are coming Wednesday. Wall Street is also, as I mentioned, reopening after a long three-day weekend. Greece and its European creditors yesterday agreed to resume talks on what economic reforms the country must make in order to get the money it needs to avoid bankruptcy and potential exit from the euro. The dollar gained against the yen and the euro in world trading this morning. Weak earnings trumped strong economic data for European stocks this morning as investors took their cue from banking giant HSBC's surprise slump in profits rather than stellar reports on the euro economy. This morning, the FTSE is off about 13 points. The DAX and the CAC are higher. All the other U.S. or Asian, I'm sorry, the European stocks are higher today, but just by a little bit in European trading still underway. This morning, the biggest drag was British-based HSBC, Europe's largest bank by assets. Its shares fell 6% on track for their biggest fall since August of 2015 after the bank paid pre-tax profits last year, slumping 62%, far more than analysts had expected. Some other news happening since you went to bed last night. Once seen as a luxury of the corporate world, private planes are becoming increasingly common at U.S. colleges and universities as schools try to attract athletes, raise money, and reward their coaches. Associated Press look at dozens of public universities found that some spent upwards of millions of dollars a year flying their coaches and administrators across the country. Some of that involves personal trips unrelated to university business, though, and some schools pass the cost on to students and taxpayers. Colleges have defended the practice, saying it's time-saving and economical for busy officials who often have to fly on short notice or travel to towns that are far from a major export. Britain's House of Lords yesterday launched a bid to gain a greater say for Parliament over the terms of Britain's European Union exit, otherwise known as Brexit. Prime Minister Theresa May warning lawmakers they must not hold up what the British people want by trying to delay the process. The Lords Parliament unelected upper chamber began 2 days of debate on a bill that authorizes the government to trigger the EU divorce project. Well, we've been talking about this in Chicago, it seems, for at least a decade or more. An express train from downtown to O'Hare Airport. Is it finally gaining a little bit of ground? Mary Wisniewski is the transportation reporter, getting around reporter at the Chicago Tribune. She's with us this morning here on The Opening Bell again. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Steve.
Glad to have you back on The Opening Bell. So I mentioned that this has been part of the discussion in Chicago for at least a decade or more, hasn't it?
That's right. It was something that Mayor Richard Daley wanted. He had pictured the Block 37 shopping center on top of this high-speed rail station. And more than $250 million was given into a hole in the ground before the work stopped in 2008.
So what is the discussion now? First of all, how has it been resurrected and why?
It's been resurrected because the Mayor Emanuel and the Aviation Commissioner Ginger Evans think that this is one of the ways that we need to be a world-class city. A lot more cities have this sort of thing than used to in the past. We have Tokyo, Hong Kong, London, Toronto all have these kind of high-speed express trains. And it's something that business travelers really like, because business travelers want their hands held after they get out of the airport. They want to, you know, be able to just not think about it and not have to ride a local L train like the Blue Line and be able to work on their laptops and not worry about their luggage all the way downtown.
And so the idea that's being floated is an express train from where downtown to O'Hare?
Well, that's the question, where and where. Where the terminal is not clear. Ginger Evans has ruled out using that old Black 37 station, has ruled out using Union Station because it's too busy. The downtown station could be Ogilvy, it could be LaSalle, it could be the Millennium, which are all part of the Metra system. It could go along the Union Pacific Northwest line, it could go along the North Central line. There's also a suggestion that it could go over the top of the Kennedy Expressway. And all of these, this would all involve heavy rail rather than light rail, and it would be very expensive. Could be $1 billion to $3 billion, according to one person I talked to who was familiar with the discussions on this.
So when you say heavy rail, you're talking about a train less looking like a CTA train, more like a Metra train.
Exactly. It would use regular tracks, and the idea is that we would be high speed and get to between O'Hare and downtown in half the time it would take you to be on the Blue Line, so like 20-25 minutes, and much faster than the Kennedy, too, when you're in a cab and it's heavy traffic.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 520. Imagine taking an express train from downtown to O'Hare Airport. It's back in the discussion phase again, and we're on with Mary Wisniewski, who's the Getting Around reporter, the transportation reporter at Chicago Tribune this morning here on The Opening Bell. Mary, before we went to the break, we're talking just briefly about the cost of this. You said about $1 billion. Is that a small estimate, or is it going to cost more than that, do you think?
Well, it's $1 billion to $3 billion. It depends on how they build it. You can imagine that something like an elevated train over the Kennedy Expressway, or maybe over the current Blue Line tracks, could be a lot of money. And we're talking about private, a mix of private investment, probably some federal funding as well, a public-private investment partnership.
At least one of the congressmen from the area is balking at that a little, saying that a little of the money has to come from the federal government. He thinks that the federal government has to be involved in this. What do you think?
Right. Mike Quigley says he just doesn't think there's enough of a market right now to do it entirely private sector. And he points out that, we have undercapitalized systems right now, the Metra and the CTA, which are going to need money. So they're going to need to find enough investors to make this worthwhile and to make it palatable to the public. And you're going to, so they're going to need to do some research about how many people would want to take this and how much they'd be willing to pay. $25 and up. Toronto tried this and found they couldn't get much ridership, and so they had to cut their price in half.
Yeah, $25 seems like a pretty high a tab for that. But if it would get you to O'Hare in, you say, 20 to 25 minutes, that seems like a good deal, especially when some travel times out there are sometimes 90 minutes or 2 hours.
Oh, it would definitely be worth it for if you're a business traveler and if time is money for you. It just depends on how many people they can get to do this. If you're a private investor, and you want to try to sink this much money into this big of a project, there's going to have to be a lot of research to determine if there's enough people to take this kind of train. There certainly is enough in London. The Heathrow Express has been tremendously successful.
Yeah, and if you've ever been to Heathrow, I remember that's just such a breeze getting from the airport to wherever you're going downtown. It was just, I remember that being very, very easy. So, Mary, in your reporting, you've already talked about money being spent on this now. How is that happening?
Yeah, that's right. The Aviation Department has already awarded $2 million to the engineering firm Parsons Brinckerhoff to study the options. And the mayor said that engineers have already made progress identifying these routes. The city's also hired Bob Rifkin, who used to be general counsel for the U.S. Transportation Department, to provide legal expertise, work with possible partners, and they're paying him $25,000 per month to get this going.
And so that seems like it seems like a project underway almost. But doesn't this have to sort of go through hearings, and doesn't the public have to chime in on this at some point?
Oh, definitely. The mayor's office has set a 3-year goal to start on this project. So that's a pretty ambitious goal. So with sometime in the next 3 years, if they want to, you know, keep on the timeline they've said, we're going to have to hear about where exactly this is going to be and how exactly it's going to be funded. The city has said that they don't want, no state or local funds will be used, but that doesn't mean taxpayer funds won't be used, because if you're using federal funding, that is, after all, taxpayer funding.
Yeah, and that brings up another question, too, with the not-so-happy relationship so far between Washington and Chicago, at least it seems that way. How likely is it that a Trump administration is going to hand out money to Chicago?
Well, it's interesting. Trump obviously has not expressed a whole lot of love for the city of Chicago. However, the president did campaign on the idea of funding infrastructure through tax credits for private companies. And he's talked often about how much he likes to have high-speed rail trains, and also about how much he thinks that the nation's airports need help. So even if the president is not too keen on funding projects for infrastructure in Chicago, he has indicated that he likes this kind of project. So this might be why this kind of project could be more possible now than maybe at other times, because the president has expressed interest in this sort of thing.
Yes, and I recall back to his meeting, I believe it was last week, with the CEOs of the airlines. He promised them whatever they needed to get things going in terms of infrastructure. He even said that our nation's airports are almost an embarrassment, I think were his words, because they're so different and so lacking compared to world airports. Is it possible that the airlines themselves could get on board with something like this and help persuade this project along?
I think that this is something that they would be interested in, and this might be one of the sources of private investment. But there's going to be a lot of different sources needed, and whoever pays for this is going to have to count on at least some, payment of their capital going forward. Tax credits alone are not going to be enough to, convince private investors to spend this much money.
You mentioned earlier that there are other projects. How much will that play into whether or not the public likes this idea? Because there are parts of the transportation system in the city that are in dire need of this kind of money. Is this going to be a competition?
Well, there's a lot of projects that have been labeled as higher priorities. The Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, which does planning for the 7-county region, has not listed this as one of its highest priority projects in its CODA 2040 plan. Other projects that have higher priorities are the Red Line South Extension, which the mayor is also wanting to get done, express toll lanes for I-55. And I-290, and so there's only so much federal money to go around. However, we don't have other people who are really looking to put a lot of private money into some of these other projects, like the Red Line South Extension. So it really depends on what private partners are willing to put up.
And so, Mary, what would be the next mile marker in this, the next post in the timeline?
The next thing we're going to be looking for is who the private investors are and where they would want to put the train. And where they would want to put the train is going to have a big impact on its cost. One would think that if you put the train, say, in the right-of-way next to the Metra North Central line to Rosemont, or using part of the Milwaukee West Line to River Grove and then picking up North Central from there, it would be less expensive than a really ambitious project like putting it over to Kennedy.
Mary, we'll stay tuned, and we'll follow your writing on this in the Chicago Tribune. Mary Wisniewski, the transportation reporter, getting around columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
From ABC News Tech Trends, it was a victory for SpaceX and for billionaire founder Elon Musk.
T-10.
Packed with a 5,000-pound payload of cargo and supplies and bound for the International Space Station.
Ignition and liftoff.
The Dragon Falcon 9 rocket successfully took off from the historic launch pad 39A at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida,
where Neil Armstrong bid the Earth farewell
before his trip to the moon nearly five decades ago.
Liftoff on Apollo 11.
The pad has been deserted since 2011 after NASA launched its last shuttle mission.
ABC's David Curley, who says when the Dragon reaches the ISS, it'll be captured by a robotic arm. And SpaceX again successfully landed the rocket's reusable first stage. Meanwhile, the space agency said over the weekend it's pushing back its target year for launching a spacecraft to Mars. The Red Dragon mission was originally slated for 2018. Now they're shooting for 2020. With Tech Trends, I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program, 538 on this Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. Glad to have you along as we move into the second half of our program this morning. How would you like to have a crystal ball of sorts to help you guide you through all of the dark times financially and emotionally, maybe even spiritually as well? Our next guest is called the Money Oracle. Snow Saxman is with us this morning, and we're going to be talking about a couple of different things. But first, Snow, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you with us. You know, I mentioned the crystal ball, and sort of that was my way of being funny, but I think what you do is a little bit better than that. You've actually managed to find ways to help people understand the emotion, the spirituality, all of those things that go into making you free, in your words, financially and spiritually, emotionally. Tell us how you do it.
Yes. So it kind of is like a crystal ball, right? Because some of these things are unseen to us, but they really do affect us. Like, the way that we think, the way that we feel about things actually does affect the physical things that we see in our world and affect how we have our lives financially. And so it really is important to understand these things that cannot be seen with our natural eyes and how they really are affecting us. And so what I do is I help people uncover those hidden success blocks, and then I help them heal from their past, which is usually affecting them currently. And then I teach them how to master creating money, so they can live financially, emotionally, and spiritually free.
How much a part of all of this is what you've just said, the past, things that have happened to us in the past affecting us now?
Oh, it's huge because of the way the brain is. When we are born, we do not have a conscious brain. We have a subconscious brain only. And then about the age of two, the conscious brain begins to form, which is the thinking brain. That's why toddlers are often called this terrible two thing. And they're not really terrible. They're just learning how to actually consciously think for the first time. And then from ages 2 to 5, our core beliefs are being developed. So everything we learn about politics, money, business, life, religion, all those things are taught to us. And then after that, until about age 25, your life experiences are just solidifying what you've been taught at this young age. And after that, you're pretty much just programmed unless you begin to consciously think about what you're thinking about, which is a big part of what I teach you will do, is to stop the programming, to stop the tape that's playing in our subconscious mind, because the brain is constantly evaluating and processing information and giving you results based on what's happened to you in the past, because that's all it has to go to. And so until you begin to consciously think about what you're thinking about, stop that program, you're just going to continue on a path that you might not even be aware of, and you'll end up in a place that you really didn't intend.
And you have come from one of those places in the past, as you've been telling us about, how it impacts us. Tell us about your past.
Yeah, so I was a millionaire by the time I was age 25 years old, which was an amazing feat during that time. It didn't seem as big as it is now. But then by age 35, I was bankrupt and living on food stamps, and that was all because of my negative thoughts around money. As the economy then began to crash in 06, I began to believe the lie that there wasn't enough, that we couldn't make enough money. And yes, things have to change. Obviously, we have to shift the way we do things because the economy really actually was crashing. But because I began to listen to the belief and then began to see everything around me being lost, the homes, the cars, all those things, I just continued to dwell on that. So by the time I was 35 years old, I was literally living on food stamps, not able to create any money. But it truly was because I just kept focusing on this lack and everything that was being lost. Instead of looking at ways of creating money and shifting and pivoting, I just got sucked into it. And so what happens to us can tremendously affect us. And again, going back to thinking about what you're thinking about is the only way to kind of get yourself out of that and to continue to focus on what you want instead of what you don't want.
I love from your bio, what jumped out at me was this line, what makes me unique is that I'm heart-centered but results-oriented. I love that.
Thank you so much. I think especially in the business world, it's very unique. You know, people are often just so focused on profits, and what I teach and what I tell people is focus on the people and the profits will come, and make decisions at the end of the day that maybe don't look good, bottom line, but when you keep heart the center of it, everything else will fall into place.
Yeah, it almost reminds me of something that one of my relatives told me once, I believe it was my grandmother, said, if you follow your heart, everything else will follow after that. It's probably really good advice.
Yes, I love that. It is.
So let's talk about taxes, Snow, because this is something that you have been sharing with folks that maybe we could use our 2017 taxes and this tax period to make money and to maybe think about, instead of spending money on Uncle Sam, making money.
Yes, absolutely. So I have been helping people with their taxes and small businesses financially for almost 20 years. I've helped a lot of people. And one of the biggest mistakes that I have seen people do and get into the habit of is getting that tax refund and just trying to pay off debt or trying to buy things. And what they end up doing is they get into this cycle of just waiting for this tax refund, using it almost like a savings account when the government isn't giving you any interest or any return on keeping your money. And then they get into this habit of just waiting for it and never actually increasing income. They just continue to maintain this capacity for spending throughout the year. So they may pay off the debt, but it comes right back the next year. And so what I teach people to do, what is actually, I feel, a better concept, is to take that money, invest it in a way to increase your income. And then when you have the increase in income, begin to pay off the debt or begin to save for something or begin to do something for yourself that you may need. And this way you've increased your income, not just your capacity for spending. And overall, you're going to be in a better place financially for the long run.
And so would you suggest what to putting it in a 401k, investing in stocks? What would your advice be?
Well, my number one thing would be to monetize your talents and start a business. With the internet today, I mean, literally, we can monetize anything. We have access to the entire world. When I started my first business 20 years ago, I was, you know, stuck in my city, and obviously I did very well, but you had to start there, and then you expanded. And if you have anything super niche, what we call, you know, super targeted, it could be difficult in certain parts of the world to be able to start a business off that. But today, you could literally start a business focused on women who are 22 years old with pink dogs, and you'd be able to find them throughout the world because you have the internet. So my number one thing is helping people create businesses. I believe you can monetize almost anything, any talent, any purpose. And then there also are things like you can invest, you can do real estate. You know, some things obviously you have to weigh what's the financial and time investment, but there are multiple ways that you can create more money instead of just, you know, spending it on current bills.
So a lot of us are getting our W-2s right now and thinking about starting the tax process. Some may have already done it. What should we be focusing on right now as we start to prepare these tax returns, thinking about the end goal that you've just talked about?
Yeah, so definitely, number one, it's important when you're filing your taxes to be somewhat organized. And even if you feel like it's not very complicated, to make sure you have everything lined up in a row and make sure you've got all your receipts and you're working with someone that can help you if that is something that maybe stresses you out especially. But to begin to take a look at where you currently are financially, that's the biggest thing that people also make a mistake about. They don't really actually know where they stand financially. And so getting everything out on paper, all the things that you owe, all the income that you have, all the expenses, even down to things people don't account for, unexpected expenses they don't account for, sometimes buying clothes and shoes for themselves or family. And so it's really important to have all of that out on paper so you can literally see your entire financial house and then be able to start making decisions about, you know, how and where you want to spend money. And then figuring out how much you're actually going to get back from your tax return and then be able to decide what are some options. Who can I go to for some ideas and some concepts? And, you know, do I feel more drawn to trying to start a business or maybe doing something else with my money? But having it all out on what actual paper, not just the computer, is really important for the brain because the brain needs to see things. And when you write down things, it turns on the reticular activator system in the brain, which says, hey, this is really important, so let's pay attention to this. Otherwise, when it stays in the phone or stays in the computer, one of the reasons people struggle with money is because nothing is out on paper. They're not reviewing things on paper anymore like we used to. And technology is amazing, but it's also not as great for the brain. So really important to have all that out in front of you and really get an understanding of where you are.
And also, as you're doing taxes too, start thinking of things that you might be able to write off that perhaps hadn't come into your mind. You have some ideas in this area too.
Oh, yes. I've been helping a lot of people for many, many years. So I have lots of things that I see are commonly missed. The number one thing that I see people commonly miss, and it's kind of funny to me, but is the fact that you can actually write off any tax preparation costs, whether you're a business or not. If you're an employee working for somebody else, you can actually write off your tax preparation costs. So it's important to keep that in mind year to year, whether that's tax software or you're actually paying a professional like myself to do it for you. You can write either one of those off. Another thing that people don't realize you can write off is charitable giving and the miles that you drive when you're working for a charity. So if you're volunteering for a church, for an organization, or whatever you're doing, you can actually write off those miles that you travel for that charitable work. And so that can end up being quite a bit of savings for people, along with more people are starting to get to know this, but also the miles that you drive for medical purposes, even though there are some limitations around, our medical deductions, keeping track of those miles, especially if it's been a busy year for you medically, that's another area that people are missing. And all of these things can end up making huge differences when you begin to miss this or miss that. That's why I always tell people, if you're even a little bit hesitating about taxes, really working with a professional is super important. And if you have a business, I honestly believe, and I don't just say this because I have a tax preparation business where I service clients all over the U.S. and even I have international clients, but truly if you have a business, there are just so many rules and so many things that you can miss that you should not do your own taxes if you are a business owner, because I literally save people hundreds of thousands of dollars every single year. And so you really, if you're a business owner, want to have that support. But super important to understand all these things, because the IRS even released a statistic that says we overpay our taxes, and I put this on my website. We overpay by $945 billion, and that's because people don't know the tax laws, and they're very complicated, rightfully so. And every 3 years, we can only go back 3 years to fix the tax return or get your money back, or if you don't file, you only have 3 years to get that money. So every 3 years, hundreds of millions of dollars goes unclaimed and back into the government that's rightfully the U.S. people's money. So it's very important to work with someone, especially if you have real estate, a business, or you feel stressed out about it.
Snow Saxman, remember, everybody, this is your money, too, by the way. Just have that in the back of your mind all the time. Snow Saxman, best-selling author of The Money Oracle with us. Thank you for taking time and being with us on The Opening Bell today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures looking positive, up 66 points. S&P and NASDAQ futures also positive. Now the latest on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. And we get back to trading here in the U.S. today because of the President's Day holiday yesterday. No trade in this country. But we'll start trading again at regular hours this morning. And just a reminder where we ended 3 days ago on Friday. April lean hogs will start the day at $70.77 a hundredweight, gained 82 cents on Friday. February live cattle at $117.92 to start the trade this week, gaining $1.47 a hundredweight Friday. And the March feeder cattle contract traded up just 15 cents a hundredweight, so it'll start at $124.07. Pretty much a red screen in the grain market last Friday. The March wheat contract ending at 441, down 5 1/4. March corn at 368 and a quarter cents a bushel, down a nickel. March soybeans down 9 cents at $10.46 and a quarter cents a bushel. The big event this week from a news standpoint in the agricultural world is the USDA National Ag Outlook Forum getting underway later in the week on Thursday. And typically, the Secretary of Agriculture appears as a speaker at that program. Haven't seen word yet on whether Sonny Perdue will be there, but we'll keep an eye out for that. And again, a reminder, National FFA Week continuing through Saturday. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Now, the Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this Tuesday, February 21st, a couple of big earnings, a big retail day on the earnings side. The Home Depot reports earnings, as does Walmart and Macy's, all reporting earnings today could drive the markets. Also today, the debate on the Brexit bill is expected to continue in the UK Parliament. An international coalition of 25 human rights organizations will hold its ninth annual gathering of human rights dissidents at the Geneva International Convention Center today. Also, Bao Bao, Smithsonian's giant panda, on her way to China today after living at the National Zoo in Washington, D.C., most of her life, actually all of her life.